Today, dozens of men on death row whose executions had been put on hold are facing imminent execution. The U.S. Supreme Court yesterday upheld the three-drug protocol for lethal injection used in all 36 death penalty states. NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
The first drug in the lethal injection protocol is to sedate, the second to paralyze, and the third to kill. Critics contend that it poses an unnecessary risk of pain and suffering that could easily be avoided with a simple overdose of a single barbiturate, or by eliminating the paralytic so that if the inmate is suffering great pain, he can communicate that fact. But yesterday, the U.S. Supreme Court said the critics had not been able to show there was a substantial risk of pain and suffering posed by the procedures used in Kentucky. The vote was 7-2, but the justices were so divided in their reasoning that no more than three justices signed on to any one opinion. The practical effect of the ruling is twofold. First, dozens of death row inmates whose executions had been put on hold pending the outcome of the Kentucky case will now face imminent execution. Second, it will be harder to challenge procedures in other states. As J. Michael Brown, Secretary of Justice and Public Safety in Kentucky, puts it,
that would seem to suggest to other states that you're certainly not going to run afoul of the Constitution if you follow the procedures that we have.
Nonetheless, death penalty opponents say that Kentucky has had only one execution, while other states have had 50, 100, or more, and that the track record in some of those states has produced evidence of untrained personnel carrying out the executions, death chambers not designed for the purpose, and even records of abuse. For example, in Missouri, evidence showing that the doctor who administered the cocktail for years used as little as half the sedation necessary, meaning that the condemned very likely suffered great pain, but because of the paralytic, could not communicate that. Death penalty lawyer Donald Verrilli.
If one looks at the records established there, what one finds is that the problem is not so much with the written protocols, which at least on their face seem reasonable, but on the fact that the states don't seem to pay any attention to the written protocols when they actually carry out the executions, and they carry out the executions in a haphazard manner. And with a record like that, it seems to me you're going to have a far different case than the case you had in Kentucky.
Professor Elizabeth Semmel directs the California Death Penalty Clinic at UC Berkeley.
I view it as opening doors. The key is going to be convincing courts to allow discovery, which shows, in fact, a substantial risk of serious harm does exist.
That sentiment is echoed by longtime death penalty litigator George Kendall.
The protocol in and of itself does not guarantee a constitutional execution. It's really how that protocol is administered and carried out. And I think that I don't think this decision is going to be read to slam shut the door.
But not all death penalty opponents are so optimistic. Columbia Law School professor Michael Dorf thinks that in the long run, yesterday's Supreme Court decision will close the doors to those challenging lethal injection.
This court, as currently configured, is not about to strike down a state's method of execution if it looks more or less like Kentucky's.
Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.
You can read the Supreme Court's decision and why some people oppose lethal injection as inhumane by going to npr.org.